Welcome to the podcast. I'm going to be broadcasting this as video and audio. And I'm just going to be reviewing some of the articles that I've put up on my website, drleeds.com. That's DRLEEDS.com. And here you can see a variety of articles about benzodiazepine dependence, withdrawal, tapering, some of the unusual side effects and adverse reactions that people get, some supplements that might be helpful, how to explain this unusual condition to doctors, which is very important. If a person has a doctor who is not understanding, not only can things go wrong as far as the patient doesn't get proper treatment or proper evaluation, but the doctor can actually trigger a response of, you know, that the patient is considered to be either addicted or to have psychiatric issues, and the patient could end up in the psych ward on additional psych medications that they don't need and are actually harmful to them, or they may end up in a drug detox, which tapers them far too quickly off of their benzodiazepine. That's very important. Can never emphasize enough the importance of the concept that dependence and addiction, or physical dependence and addiction, are not the same thing. A person can be, in fact, it's common that a person who is physically dependent on a benzodiazepine, who takes it as directed by their doctor, a person could take Klonopin or Ativan, Xanax, Valium. They could take one of these medications for many, many years and follow the directions, and if they stop taking the medication, they go into withdrawal. In fact, if they even cut back on the medication, they can go into withdrawal, or they may even get toxic effects of the medication after taking it so long. And these effects or these withdrawal symptoms do not in any way indicate addiction. Addiction is a completely different condition. And benzos tend not to cause addiction, although there are people with addictions that use them. You know, there is abuse potential. A person who has, for example, a cocaine addiction may misuse Xanax by taking it to come down from their cocaine high, and that's an entirely different issue. So let's start here. I'm going to just read the title of this article. Are benzos drugs that cause histamine intolerance and withdrawal allergies? This title always looks like there's something wrong with it to me when I read it. Are benzos drugs that cause histamine intolerance and withdrawal allergies? Okay, let's go into the article. And this was really unusual when I first saw it. When I first saw a patient who had a histamine reaction while she was tapering off of benzodiazepines and ultimately some other medications, it was very unusual. And of course, they teach us that a person can develop allergies at any time in their life. And, you know, the first assumption, if a doctor knows nothing about this, the first assumption is, well, you just happen to develop an allergy to something. Either there's something new in your environment that you're allergic to, or you've developed a new allergy, which can happen at any time in life. And now we're dealing with an allergy and not something, you know, because it's very unusual to think a person can start having severe allergy symptoms just out of the blue, and that it would be related to tapering off of a medication, you know, or a withdrawal symptom. But actually it is. And I don't know if the mechanism is understood. And some people will call it histamine intolerance, meaning these histamines that we have in our body that are released and can cause allergic reactions. You know, that some people have an intolerance to them. So when you eat foods that are rich in histamine, or foods that cause a release of histamine in the body, that the person will have an excessive abnormal reaction and react as if they're highly allergic to something. And it's not an allergy, it's just, it's a sensitivity to histamine that would normally not cause a reaction. And then some people also describe mast cell activation syndrome. And the mast cells are cells in the body that release histamines. And so that could be, you know, there is a difference between mast cell activation syndrome and histamine intolerance or histamine sensitivity. But, you know, there is some overlap and, you know, distinguishing what's the underlying mechanism for the person having these severe allergy symptoms. And I don't know that the treatment would be much different, or if there's a need to distinguish when a person who's going through benzo withdrawal tapering suddenly has these symptoms. One thing that we can start with, and it's right here at the top, is this enzyme DAO. This is an enzyme that helps to metabolize foods that are rich in histamine. And, you know, a person can take these, can take one of these. This is Nature DAO. That's one product that's all natural. There's other ones. And you would take a DAO supplement or enzyme right before a meal. You can take it right before each meal, and that will help a little bit. You know, it may not completely resolve the problem, but it will help, or it should help. Hopefully it'll help. So the other issue is, the other thing is that, you know, if a person can look up foods that are rich in histamine and try to minimize or avoid those. So you can see in this article as I'm scrolling through, you know, that I talk about mast cell activation syndrome, histamine sensitivity, the issue of an imbalance of the neurotransmitters GABA and glutamate. And there may be some ways to address, to attenuate this imbalance. And for example, ketamine, and ketamine therapy is now very popular. And there's different ways to implement it by infusion, nasal spray, you know, with esketamine or Spravato for depression. There's also sublingual low-dose ketamine in the range of just a few milligrams, where a person puts what's called a troche, which is made by a compound pharmacy, under the tongue, and it has minimal effects. It's not going to, at a very low dose, a person can function for the most part normally, but they may get some of the benefits of how ketamine works in the brain, of blocking the NMDA receptor, which in turn has a downstream effect on the actions of GABA and glutamate. And it can also help with neurogenesis, which is an improvement in the connections between neurons by the dendrites, which are the tree-like structures that reach out from one neuron to connect with many other neurons. And those connections can improve with the help of ketamine therapy. Not that it's a you know, silver bullet cure-all treatment. A lot of people have tried it and said either they had a negative reaction to it, or, you know, it didn't help, or it helped minimally. But, you know, something to consider. There's also other treatments that may help with this balance. Other medications and therapies, you know, non-medication therapies may help. But the antihistamines may or may not help. And then a lot of people going in benzo withdrawal have negative reactions, adverse reactions to histamines. Hydroxyzine is one that is an antihistamine that's used to treat anxiety and motion sickness. That's been known to help some people. Meclizine, which is sold as Antivert, that's been known to help some people. But, you know, these things can also cause adverse reactions, you know, where they normally wouldn't cause an adverse reaction, but when a person is in benzo withdrawal, you know, short-term or even protracted long-term withdrawal, they tend to have in some cases, pretty severe reactions to medications and even supplements when they normally wouldn't have them in the past. Now, you can treat histamine sensitivity as an allergy as far as cleaning your environment. May or may not help, you know, cleaning the air, keeping your bedding clean, looking for, new chemicals that you're using, that, maybe laundry detergent or softener. That may or may not help, of course, because this is not really an allergy issue, but maybe minimizing allergy potential could help. The food and the diet is really where you're going to get the most benefit. Taking the DAO enzyme may help, and really, avoiding those histamine foods. Like, here we list some: avocados, banana, spinach, eggplants, nuts, mushrooms, chocolate, strawberries, pineapple, soybeans, eggs, oily fish, processed meats, smoked meats, shellfish, dried foods, dairy products, energy drinks, alcoholic beverages. These restrictions are probably not going to be permanent. This issue with histamine sensitivity is something that can come and go, or can go for a long time, and maybe it won't come back, or maybe it will come back briefly in the future and then go away again. Now, antihistamines, there's natural antihistamines, ginger. I used to like to add ginger to my carrot juice. I used to make my own carrot juice with a juicer and then add a little bit of ginger. Foods rich in vitamin C. Here I gave credit to a couple of these naturopathic doctors who had some pretty good articles on the topic. Dr. Steve Bunner, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. And he recommended some vitamin C-rich foods and other foods. Dr. Ben Sarlin, I think I might have communicated with him either on social media or with email. And I connected to his article here. Quercetin is known to be a mast cell stabilizer. So you can imagine, if you have a mast cell activation syndrome, it might help to activate the mast cells in your body. So quercetin, that's Quercetin. And that's known to be helpful for people who are dealing with benzo withdrawal issues otherwise, in addition to this condition. But it's known to help with inflammation and immune problems. Low-dose lithium in the form of lithium orotate, that may be helpful, but that's something, of course, any of these things must be discussed with a doctor. Nothing should be taken from this presentation as far as being medical advice or decision making. Of course, run this by your doctor, and if your doctor is not knowledgeable about this, and if they're not willing to research it, then try to find a doctor who is knowledgeable. Low-dose lithium may have additional benefits, so consult with your doctor. Also, treating the symptoms of a histamine reaction will be helpful. Dealing with dry eyes, itchiness, or irritation. There's safe, eye lubrication products like eye drops. Usually it's recommended to avoid the Visine Red Eye product, but there's, Biontears and a couple other good ones. For skin irritation, moisturizing lotions, oatmeal bath, magnesium bath, such as Epsom salt. Other magnesium products may help also. Some people get benefits from taking a magnesium supplement, and there's a whole other article on here about that. Can allergy symptoms be ignored? Well, no, you want to address it. You want to address it mainly by the dietary restrictions is going to be the main thing to help. Is allergy testing recommended? It's hard to say. What are the chances that you happen to be tapering off of a benzodiazepine and suddenly, and you're having all these withdrawal symptoms, and suddenly you develop this histamine sensitivity? Might be worth doing some allergy testing, but that can be unpleasant. So, that's something you talk to your doctor about. Can it be a sign of tapering too quickly? Well, tapering too quickly can increase the risk of having excessive withdrawal symptoms, so possibly. But there's reasons why, in some cases, some patients will want to taper faster than others. You know, if you're having toxic effects from your benzodiazepine, it is good to get out of the danger zone. And, you know, maybe not the entire taper, but maybe the beginning of the taper should go a little faster until you minimize those toxic symptoms. And here, say, I say that the tapering process is an imperfect art and science, which is true. There's no one-size-fits-all solution. Each case is different and has to be approached carefully and thoughtfully. So will the allergy symptoms from histamine sensitivity go away? In most cases, yes. Some people have it longer than others. And, you know, it's a long-term healing process. It takes time for the brain to heal. About the food issues, it might also be a good idea to avoid foods that are processed. Of course, you know, like foods that are high in processed carbohydrates. Minimizing carbohydrates and sugars may be helpful. A keto diet could help, but you may not have to go fully into a diet of ketosis of very low carbohydrates, because that's not easy to follow. And actually, there's some foods that are used typically on a keto diet, which would also be high in histamine. So you have to be extra careful there. But it also may help to look for foods that don't have toxic substances, you know, like pesticides. And you may think like, okay, I'll go for the organic. But organic produce, also they used pesticides. In fact, in some cases, they may be even more toxic than the pesticides used on conventional or non-organic products. So there's also the possibility of looking for a local farm or a local produce retailer who deals in produce and foods that not only are organic, but have either minimal or no toxic pesticides or chemicals added. You know, there's farms where people are farming now and using little to no pesticides at all. You know, keeping the food very, very clean. And, you know, people can even grow fruits and vegetables in their own garden or in their own home, even with hydroponic growing, you know, which I know can get expensive and complicated, but that may be something to look into. But yeah, food is probably the main thing to focus on, whether it's avoiding processed foods, avoiding foods high in carbohydrates, high in toxic chemicals, high in additives, and definitely with histamine sensitivity, avoiding those foods that are either high in histamine or known to be likely to cause a release of histamine in the body. So, okay, thank you for joining me, and I hope that this has been helpful. For more information, please visit the website. That's drleeds.com, DRLEEDS.com. Thank you.